Today, Shir's in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin two lines from the top of the Amud, in the middle of the line, with the words Chata Yisrael, a brief Hagdama. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, tells us Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rava Bar Zimuna, Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, Anu B'nei Anashim, Im Rishonim B'nei Anashim, Anu Kechamorim. Famous Gemara in Shabbos that tells us that there is no comparison between the Doris Rishonim and our own Doris. The question that is asked is the following. The Gemara tells us that the first base of Migdash was destroyed because of Gilui Arayas, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Now these are terrible Averis, the three cardinal Averis that a person has to give up his life for. These are things that we would not do. And yet we're saying that the generations that came before us were much greater than us. There's no comparison between us and the previous generations. How, in fact, could they do these three terrible averus? One answer that is given is that the misa, the murder, shvichas damim, that Chazal are speaking about, does not mean actually physical murder, but rather that They were mevayir somebody berabim, which is ki'ilu shayfach damim, or they got angry and call hakoyas ki'ilu oivar avodah zarah. Whoever gets angry, it's as if he served idols. However, there is another answer given by Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Harav Hagaon Rabbi Aaron Kotler, zecher tzadik livracha, and I believe it's in the Hagdama of the Sefer called Mida Keneged Mida that was written by a Talmud of Rav Aaron Zitzal, and he states that we might think that there were thousands of Jews running around killing each other, serving idols. We see from the sugya that we're in here in Sanhedrin, based on the psukim in Sefer Yeshua, that one person can do an Avera, and yet the Pasuk in Yeshua, Perek Zion, tells us, Chata Yisrael, that the Rabbanu Yisrael came to Yeshua and said that all of Yisrael has sinned. So, of course, the Doris Rishon were much greater than us, but there could have been one case of Shvichas Damim, one case of idol worshipping, one case of Gilui Arayas, and that was enough to bring about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the proof is from Achan. Achan was the only one who took from the spoils of Yerichai, which Yeshua had given an injunction against doing. And yet Hashem called it that all of Yisrael had done the Aver. This is Rabbi Aaron Kotler's Raya from Achan. Now, what exactly did Yisrael do wrong? So the Marsha in our sugya says that they should have appointed shomrim, guards, to watch out that nobody should take from the spoils of Yerichai. They failed to do that, and therefore it's considered as if all of Yisrael sinned. There is another pshat given by Rabbi Elio Dessler Zatzal in the Michtav Melio that if one Jew could sin, that means that the ruach of all of Klal Yisrael was not so strong that would allow one Jew to do the Avera. True, it's only a single individual who did the Avera, but that indicates that the Ruach, the spirit of Klal Yisrael against taking from the Cherem, was not so strong. If it would have been totally on its highest level, then there would not have been even one Jew who would have dared to take from the spoils of Yerichai, and therefore Hashem considered it, also because of Arvus, as we learned here in the Sugya, call Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, that Chata Yisrael. But the Yisoid of Rabaran is an important one to remember, that one Jew could do an Avera, and it's considered the Avera of all of Yisrael. Let us begin the Gemara, second line from the top. And the Gemara, in fact, is now darshaning that pasuk of Chata Yisrael. The Gemara wants to know, if we're speaking about something derogatory about Klal Yisrael, then the pasuk should have used the words Chata Ha'am, which is a less flattering way of describing Klal Yisrael. Amar Rab Abba Bar Zavda, Afal Pisha Chata Yisrael Hu. From here, we learn an important halacha, important concept in Jewish Hashkafa, that a Jew, he could be the worst Jew, have done the worst of eras, even though he has sinned, but he can never give up the fact that he is a Jew. He still remains a Jew. as Rav Huttner Zatzal speaks in his Sefer Pachat Yitzchak, Yisrael Shechata Afal Pikein Yisrael Hu, and this started from Yaakov Avinu, Ki Lo Yidach Mimenu Nidach, and the Jew remains a Jew even after having done the worst averus. Amar Rabba, Abba Haina Damri Inchi, that's what people say. Asa, a myrtle, Dekoi Bein Chilfi, if it is growing amongst Chilfi, which the Rishash says to mean willows, Aravos, Asa Shmei, its name is Asa, Va'asa Korli, and it is referred to as an Asa. So too, a Jew could be surrounded with averus, and yet, Yisraelhu, he's still called a Yisrael, and therefore Hashem referred to Klal Yisrael here as Chata Yisrael and not Chata Ha'am. Hashem said to Yeshua that Klal Yisrael, and specifically referring to Achan, had done five different things that are wrong. And in front of each of these things, the Pasuk puts the word Gam. The Gam Avru Esprisi Asher Tzivisi Yisam. They also transgressed the covenant that I commanded them. Gam lakhu min acherim, they also took from the spoils. Gam gonvu, they also stole. Gam kichashu, they also denied. Gam samu b'chlayhem, they also put it into their vessels. Amar Rabbi Lo, Mishum Rabbi Yuda, bar masparta, malame, this teaches us, she'over ochen al chamishachum she'tayra, that ochen transgressed the five svarim of the Torah, she'nemar chamisha gam, that's why the word gum is repeated five different times. He not only stole from the spoils of Yericho, but he was a total Rasha who was over on the entire Chamisha Chamisha Torah. V'yomer Rabbi Lo, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Masparta. And again, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lo, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Masparta, said another idea concerning Achan, that Achan Moishich Bar Losei Hoya, that Achan, as Rashi explains, would constantly pull on the remnants of his bris mila, on the orla. He would stretch it until finally it covered his mila. He didn't want his bris mila to be noticeable, and it was covered by the remnants of the orla. Achan moishich bar lasai haya. And a person who does this, we find, is considered that he's mefer the bris. He is breaking the covenant between himself and Hashem. Ksiv hacha. It says here in Yeshua, v'gam avru es brisi, the pasuk that we just learned above. Ksiv hasam, it says over there concerning bris mila, as brisi hafer, that they destroyed my bris. So just like that bris is speaking about bris mila, so too, Achan destroyed the bris mila by being a moishech bo'or lasei. Ask the Gemara Pshita, you, Rabbi Lo, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Masparta, said above that five times gum equals being over on the Chamisha Chumshe Torah. So if this is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, Bris Mila. So of course he was over. Why do you have to tell us that he was over on that? The Gemara answers, Mao, the same I would have thought. B'mitzvah gufe loy pokar, that yes, he transgressed all mitzvahs. But here we're talking about a mitzvah of Bris Mila that was etched onto his very flesh. So we would have thought that to such a degree he would not abandon Yiddishkeit, he would not be mafker himself to do such an avera, kamash malon, that even a mitzvah that was attached to his guf, even that he broke. Then Hashem said about Achan, v'chi asa nevolo b'Yisrael, he did an abomination in Yisrael. Amar Rabba Abba Bar Zav, the Melamed Shebaal Achan Naira Marasa, that he had relations with a woman who was Me'ureses to marry someone else, who has a halacha of an Eishes Ish, and if someone lives with a Naira Marasa, the halacha is that they receive skila. How do I know that he lived with a Naira Marasa? Agzei Rishavak. Sivhach, it says here, concerning Achan V'chi Asan Nevola. Uksiv Hasam, and it says over there by Naira Marasa, ki asa son of Olabi Yisrael, that she has committed an abomination within Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, the same kasha as before, Pshita. If you told me Zoyver and the Chamishachim Shetaira, so one of the dinim in the Chamishachim Shetaira is Naira Marasa, so of course he did that also. What's the Chiddush? Mao, the same I would have thought. Kuli hai, loy poker nafshe, that to such an extent he would not be mafker himself. He would not abandon himself to do such an aveira, which Rashi explains is ra l'shamayim v'ra l'briyas. It's bad for Hashem, and it's also bad against humanity because it embarrasses the entire family of the Naira Marasa. It prohibits her on her husband, maybe to such an extent. He would not abandon Yiddishkeit, kamash from that even that Avera he did as well. Ravina says that the Gzeir Shav of Nivola, Nivola is not to teach me that it was over on a Naira Marasa, because that would be included in the Chamish Chum Shei Torah, but rather the Gzeir Shav is to teach us what Misa Achan received. Dine, his halach, his judgment was Kenaira Hamurasa the Beskila, just like a Naira Marasa received Skila for what she has done, so too Achan received the Misa of Skila. Continues the Gemara. Amale Resh Galus La Rafuna, the Resh Galus is said to Rafuna, Ksiv. It says in the Pasuk, Vayikach Yeshua es Achan ben Zerach. Yeshua took Achan the son of Zerach. Vesa Kesef, Vesa Aderes, and the garment. Vesel Shoin is of the golden bar. Ves Bona Ves Benois of his sons and daughters. Ves Shoiroi, his ox. Ves Chamoiroi, his donkey. Ves Soinay, his sheep. Ves Oloi, and his tent. Ves Kolashloi, everything that he possessed. And the Gemara understood that they were all burnt, as the pasuk continues there in Yeshua, Vayisrafu oisam ba'esh, Vayiskelu oisam ba'avanim. They burnt them in fire, and they stoned them with stones. So the Gemara's havamina was that not only did Achan get killed, but his children, his sons and daughters, received the death penalty as well. And on that, the Gemara asks, Im hu chata, if Achan sinned, banavu b'nois v'machatu, what did they sin that they deserve to get skila and sreif as well? Amar lei, so the Reish Galusa responded, Rav Huna rather, responded to the Reish Galusa ulatameich. And according to your reasoning, that everyone who was brought there by Yeshua was stoned and burnt, I could ask a greater question. Im hu chat ev achan sin, kol Yisrael machatu, what was the aver of all of Yisrael? Did they too deserve skila? Dechsiv v'chol Yisrael imoy, because with him was all of Yisrael. It wasn't just his sons and daughters, but the entire Klal Yisrael was there. If your approach is that his daughters and sons were there to receive the death penalty, it would seem to be that all Yisrael were there as well. How could it be? We don't find that all Yisrael was killed out at that time. Why would they deserve to be killed out at that time? It cannot be. Ella must be a different shot. L'radoisen. The purpose of all of Yisrael watching Achan get killed was to chastise them, to subdue them, that they should not commit such an aveira in the future. Hachanami by the sons and daughters, they were not brought out to be killed and burned, but rather to chastise them, to subdue them, that they should not follow in the footsteps of their father and do such an aveira in the future. But Einachanami, they did not receive the death penalty. The pasuk continues, Vayisr foisam beish vayiskuloisam bavonim, that they were burnt and they were stoned. Asked the Gemara, Batarti, was it in fact required that they should be burnt and stoned? Amar Ravina, no. Haroi l'sreif l'sreifa. As Rashi explains, those things like Kesev Zov and the Begadim, the garments that are capable of being burnt, those were burnt. Haroi l'skila, but his ox, his animals, were stoned. These are the items that can be killed through stoning. So they were stoned. Haroi l'skila, l'skila. And Rashi explains that this was a knas to Achan so that other people should learn from it not to do such a thing in the future. Then Yeshua asked Achan to admit what he had done wrong. And Achan begins to explain how he was brought to steal, to be moel from the spoils of Yericho. Yericho. V'ere b'shol, I saw there in the spoils, adera shinner, I saw a garment from shinner is bavel, achas toiva, was a very beautiful, lovely garment from bavel, u'masayim shkolim kesef, and I saw 200 shkolim of kesef, and the meforshim explained that what was a Babylonian garment doing there? Because all the kings had palaces in Eretz Canaan, and the king of Shinar of Babel also had one, and he had his clothing there. And Achan took this garment from the palace of the king of Shinar of Babel. So now there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, what type of beautiful garment from Babel this was. Rav Amar Itzdila Demilsa. Rav says that this was a garment that was made out of beautiful, clean wool. As Rashi explains, that this is wool from a sheep from that wears upon him a garment to cover up his wool, that it never gets any dirt on it, and from the day it's born until that wool is shorn off, it remains totally clean. So it's a very expensive type of wool. Ushmul Omar, the beauty was not in the cleanliness of the wool, but rather sarbula ditsrifa. It was a garment that was made out of a dye, which is alum. So the beauty, according to Shmuel, was in the fact that it was dyed. The pasuk continues, Vayetzikim lefnei Hashem, that Yehoshua spread them out in front of Hashem, all of these items. Amar of Nachman, Bo v'choftam lefnei Amakim, Yehoshua came and he threw them down in front of Hashem. Amar lefanav, and he said it to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, al elu teharig Reuben shenel Sanhedrin, because of these few items, most of the Sanhedrin will be killed out. We notice Sanhedrin is made of the Sanhedrin Agdala of 71. Roiv is 36. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayaku mehem anshi'ai kishloish v'shisha'ish. The anshi'ai killed like 36 people. Now, what is this kishloish v'shisha'ish? It should be the anshi'ai killed 36 people. And if it's to tell you approximately, so 36 is not a number that you round off. You round it off to 35 or to 40. But what is the kish, shloishim v'shisha ish? V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, shloishim v'shisha mamish. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it was not approximately 36, but it was exactly 36. Amar le Rabbi Nechemia, said Rabbi Nechemia to Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi shloishim v'shisha hayu. It's not like you're saying exactly 36, because then, as we mentioned before, it should say, the Chof must be telling you something comparable to 36, because again, it's not to round it off either, approximately 36, because you'd use 35 or 40. Ella zeh Yoyer ben Menashe was killed by Anshei Sheshakol. He is worth Keneged Ruvishel Sanhedrin like most of the Sanhedrin, which would be a majority of 36 to 35. That's the majority of 71. Yoyer ben Menashe was equal to it, and he was killed. So Yeshua very strongly says to Hashem, throwing down all these items, because of these items, we're going to kill out such a great gadol like Yoyer ben Menashe, who's equal to the Reuben shel Sanhedrin. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav, my desiv, that which it says in the pasuk, Tachnunim yedaber rosh. The pasuk initially states that supplications will be said by the poor man, va'ashir, and a rich man, yana azus. He will speak in a brazen tone. Who does this refer to? Tachnunim yedaber rosh. Is that Moshe? This is Moshe. As Rashi says, that whenever Moshe was mevakish rachman for Klal Yisrael, he used to speak in a very soft tone. As the Yad Ruma tells us, the word ve'eschanon in the beginning of Parshat Eschanon means that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's approach to ask rachman from Hashem. But for Usher, yana azus, zeh Yeshua, this is Yeshua. And the Gemara is going to try to discover where Yeshua showed brazenness, azus, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yad Ruma explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, who constantly was being mevakish rachman for Klal Yisrael, and as a result, many nisim took place. So Moshe felt that these miracles that occurred, which saved Klal Yisrael, came at his expense. He lost the chusim. He lost merit because of this, and therefore he would only pray to Hashem with supplication, in humility, with a low tone, modestly. But Yeshua, who was at the beginning of his career, here with the story of Ochan and Yericho and Ai. So he was able to speak in a much more forceful manner. Where do we find that Yeshua spoke in this forceful manner? My time, if it's what we just learned before, that he spread out the items in front of Hashem, and he said, how can you kill out Yor ben Menashe, who's equal to Rav of Sanhedrin, v'yom Rav Nachman, bo v'choftan l'vnei HaMalkum. He hurled them in front, he threw them down in front of Hashem. So it seems to be that he spoke in a very brazen manner. Atu Pinchas lo yavarachi. Is this only Yeshua? Pinchas did this as well. The word here on the side of the Masoreth Shas is uksiv. It says in the Pasuk, doesn't it say in the Pasuk that Pinchas acted in a very forceful manner? Pinchas stood and davened. This was after the incident of Kozbi Basur. There was a Magefa where many of Klal Yisrael were killed out, and through Pinchas' tefillah to Hashem, the Magefa stopped. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, v'yispala loy nemer. It doesn't say v'yispala with a tough, ela v'yipalel. The word pilul means din. Melamed she'asa pli loysim kainai. With his creator, he did litigation. In other words, he wasn't pleading with Hashem, but he was trying to litigate their release from this gzeirah in a very strong manner. So why do we single out Yeshua that he spoke brazen when we see that Pinchas acted the same way? Because as Chazal continue here, bo v'choftan lifnei hamakom, he took the corpses of Zimri ben Salu and Kozbi bas Tzur, and he threw those corpses down in front of Hashem. Armel lefanav, he said to Hashem, Rabbi Nishlolam, al elu yiplu esen raboy, alef Mishrael, 24,000 Jews should die because of these two avar yonim, these two people who committed such a terrible avera. Dichsiv, ayu amesav magefa, arba vesrim elef, there were 24,000 who died in that plague. The elami hocha, it can't be that this is what Yeshua spoke brazenly. It must be from the following pasuk, because after they were defeated in Ai, and Yeshua did not know why they were defeated, Yeshua says to Hashem, Loma varta heveres omazes hayardin. Why did you bring them over to Yarden to meet such a fate and be beaten in battle by Ai? If that's what Yeshua spoke brazenly, Moshe Nami Meimar Omer. Moshe also said a similar thing. When he went first to Parai, and instead of it getting easier for Klal Yisrael, Paroi Tichbar Avoida, he said that the work should be made more, the Jews should have to work in a much more difficult manner. So Moshe said to Hashem, Lama Haraoisu, Lama Zeh? Why did you do bad to Klal Yisrael? So Moshe also spoke in such a way. Why is Yeshua chosen? Elami hacha must be from the following, which we don't find that anybody else said a similar thing. Velu hoy alnu vaneshu v'ever ayarden. If only we would have chosen, we would have been able to remain in Ever Yarden. You Hashem forced us to come over to Yarden, and then we get defeated by Ai. So these are considered very brazen words of Yeshua. And on this, the pasuk says, v'osher yane azus. And now the Gemara continues to explain the psukim of the story of Ochan that we find in Yeshua. Yeshua prostrated himself down in front of Hashem in tefillah. Vayomer Hashem al Yeshua, kum loch, raise yourself up. What's the word loch? Yeshua, Hashem should have said to Yeshua, kum, rise. Dorish Rav Shila, Amar Lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loch, meaning shaloch kasha mishalahem. You did also a certain avera, and your avera is even worse than what the Jews did. What is the avera that Yeshua did? Ani amarti, I told you, v'hoyu ba'avrachem es hayarden, when you cross over the Yarden, takimu, that you should establish, you should set up four stones upon which were written all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but you didn't do it right away when you went over the Yarden. Va'atem richaktem samach mil, and you waited until you got to Har Evil, which was 60 mil away from the Yarden. Tosfos in Divrei HaMashal, Atem Richakim Shishim Milin, doesn't understand why this should be considered against Yeshua. V'yesh lo tmoyes, Tosfos says there on the fifth line. V'haloi k'din asa. He did the right thing. D'aksiv v'hoi ba'arva kamas ha'yar, t'akimis avonam ha'elah, sh'ar nechum etzavis kam ha'yar, b'har evil. That's the geographical fact that Har Eivel is by the Shomronim, which is 60 mil away from the Arden, and that's exactly what Hashem told him to do. So on this, Tosfos brings a Gemara in Masechta Sota, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, where we actually have a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yehuda says that Har Gerizim and Har Eivol are far away from the Yarden. Their talk is 60 mil away. Rabbi Lazar says no. Their be'evar Yarden samuch liyarden. And Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that not only is there the famous Har Gerizim and Har Eivol in Eretz Yisrael 60 mil away from the Yarden, but right after you cross the Yarden, there is a miniature Har Gerizim and Har Eivol. And Rabbi Lezer says that Shnayim Hoyu, there were two Har Gerizims, two Har Eivols, and what Yeshua was supposed to do is establish these stones by the Har Eivol that was right next to the Yarden. So this is the sheet of Rav Shila that Yeshua did something wrong. That's why Hashem said, Kum Loch. He didn't just say Kum because Loch. Shaloch is what you did is Kosher Mishalahem. However, Basar did Nafik, when Rav Shila left, Ukim Rav Amoira Leh. Amoira is someone who's Omar, who says, the Gadol would say the Shir, or the Divrei Agada in a quiet manner. And this person was like a microphone. He projected what the Gadol had said, what the Rashiv had said. He projected it to the masses to hear. So Rav set up an Amoira, and he said the following. Basar de Nafik, when Rav Shela went out, Ukum Rav Amoira Olei Vidorish, and he darshened the following. The Pasuk says there in Yeshua, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yeshua, v'chein os Yeshua, lo hisir dover mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So in other words, Hashem commanded Moshe, Moshe commanded Yeshua, Yeshua did exactly what Moshe had been commanded by Hashem to do. So how could you say that Yeshua is held accountable, kum loch, that he did something wrong? In Cain, Ma'atam Elohim Kum Lach. So what, in fact, does Kum Lach mean? Because he did nothing wrong concerning establishing the stones, the Torah written on the four stones. And Tosfos, at the end of that, Tosfos Divrei Maskil V'Atam Rechaktam, explains that Rav could hold either like Rav Lazar or like Rav Yehuda in the Gemara and Saita. He can say either Har Gerizim Har Eivol was far. He could say Har Gerizim Har Eivol was speaking about the ones close to the Yarden, and Yeshua did nothing wrong. Because if he did it close to the Yarden, so the Tzivui was on the Har Eivol close to the Yarden. If, in fact, he did it in the famous Har Gerizim Har Eivol 60 mil away, so the Tzivui was on the 160 mil away. But according to Rav, Yeshua did not transgress on the wish of Hashem. Rav Shila will hold that there's two Har Gerizim Har Eivols and Yeshua chose the wrong one. He didn't do the one right away crossing the Yarden. He did the one 60 mil away. He shouldn't have done that. According to Rav, whatever opinion you hold, which Har Gerizim Har Eivol we are discussing, he did the right thing. If he did it close, that was the tzivui. If he did it far, that was the tzivui. So if so, what did he do wrong? Omar lei, Hashem said to Yeshua, Ato goramto lahem. You brought on this whole problem. I didn't tell Klal Yisrael not to take from the spoils of Yerichai. You were geyser a gzeir on the tzibur, shein tzibur yichon lamed boy. They weren't able to cope with that tzibur. They see all these this treasure there, and finally one person, Achan, broke down and he stole. You should never have made this on your own, that they shouldn't take from the spoils. And the Marsha points out that even though Moshe Rabbeinu, we find, very often made that Klal Yisrael should not take from the spoils, but that was before they went over the Yarden, where there was no Din Arvus. But after they went over the Yarden, as we've learned before, they had Kol Yisroel Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. So now if Achan steals, it's not only Achan, but it's Chata Yisroel. So you should not have made an Isser on Kol Yisroel to take from the Cherem, which jeopardizes that it's considered as if all of Yisroel did this Avera. V'hainu d'karmel le'ba'ai, that's what Hashem said to Yeshua concerning Ai. The second time when they went again to fight Ai, said Hashem, v'asisa la'ai l'malka, you'll do to Ai and to her king, kasher asisa l'yericho l'malka, just like you did to Yericho and the king of Yericho. And Rashi continues the pasuk, rak shlolo v'hemta tavoizu. And Rashi leaves off one word, lochem. That Hashem said to Yeshua, don't make the same mistake twice. Don't make another injunction against Klal Yisrael that they're not allowed to take from the spoils of Ai. They could take from the spoils of Ai. Let's not make that same mistake twice. And now the Gemara is going to explain some other psukim in Yahushua. And this is in Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Gimel. And this is when Yeshua is in Yericho. And this Gemara is brought down in several places in Shas. One of them is Megillah on Daf Gimel. The pasuk says, "Vayhi biyoyt sheyishu biyericho vayisa ena vayar vehine ish oimid lenegdoi v'charber shluf biyoyt." He sees a man, and he sees the man has a sword that is drawn out. Vayelech Yeshu ela vayomle halonu atom letzarenu. Are you friend or foe? Vayomer loy kani sartzva Hashem. I am a malach, the sartzva of Hashem. And Rashi there in Yeshua tells us that this is the malach Michal, and the malach Michal is the sar of tzva, of the host, the army host of Klal Yisrael, and he is the sar of Yisrael in Shamayim. Atabasi, I've come now. And we'll see in the Gemara in Amud Beis what he meant by atabasi. He was giving Yeshua Musar on a certain aver, and he was telling Yeshua that you deserve punishment for that aver. You and Kol Yisrael deserve punishment. Vayipol Yeshua Ponov, Arzo, Vayishtachu, he bowed down. Vayomer Loi, Mo Adoni Medaber Lavdoi, what are you telling your servant? And he said, it's a holy place, and take off your shoes. And Yeshua did that. So, let us see how the Gemara darshens these psukim. Three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Vayhi biyois Yahushua biyericho. Vayisa ena vayar. Vayomer loy kani sartzu Hashem atabasi. Vayipol Yeshua ponav arzu vayishachu. Ask the Gemara, heichi avad hachi. How could Yeshua bow down to this person? Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, osu loy la'adam. A person is not allowed to give shalom. He's not allowed to say shalom aleichem to his friend. Normally, when you greet someone, you have to use the name of Hashem. We find the Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel, that says that when you meet somebody, you greet him with the Shem Hashem, and that's why we say shalom aleichem. But you're not allowed to give shalom to someone who you think is your friend at night, because we're worried that maybe this is a shade. He's a mazik. A spiritual mazik. Tosfos at the bottom, Tosfos says that this is only in the fields and hills where people do not congregate. And there, shchichi sham shadim afilu b'yoyim, even in the daytime you get shadim over there. So that it's usur to give at night when you can't recognize if it's your real friend or not. But Tosfos says, but in a city, even at night, we're not worried about Shadim. That's not where Shadim congregate. Because otherwise, how would you ever be able to say Shalom Aleichem to your friend at night in a city? So this Gemara is only going on the hills and valleys, the fields where we don't find many people. So it's usher to give Shalom. And because Shalom, Rashi explains, is the name of Hashem. And we don't want to use the name of Hashem on a mazik, on a shade. So here it must have been, Rashi says, Balaila, by Yeshua with the Malach. Why? Because since Yeshua asked, Halon Atam Litzarenu, are you friend or foe? If it was broad daylight, Yeshua would be able to recognize that it was a friend. It was not a foe. It was not someone dressed up like the enemy. So it must have been by night. If it's by night, if you're not allowed to give shalom to a person because he might be a shade, so certainly you cannot bow down, because then you're actually like Daimer Rashi says, kemishtachav l'seirim. It's as if you're bowing down to the mazikim, the shade. So how could Yeshua do this? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hossam, Yeshua knew it's not a shade. The Ka'amar lay, because what did this being answer to Yeshua? Ani, Sar, Tzvo Hashem, Atabasi. So he used the name of Hashem, so he must have been a malach. And he said, I'm a malach. V'dilma Meshach, we asked the Gemara, maybe he was lying. Maybe he was a shade, and he was fooling Yeshua and saying, Ani, Sar, Tzvo Hashem. So the Gemara answers, Gemiri, we have a rule, Delay mafki shem shemayim levatol, that a shade will never use Hashem's name in vain. So once Yeshua heard Ani Sar Tzva Hashem, he knew that it was indeed a malach. The question that can be asked is, even if it's a malach, there's an issur for a person to bow down to a malach, because then it looks like he's serving the malach, and it's also a type of avodah zarah. On this, the Sefer HaYikrim answers that the issur of bowing down to a malach is only when a person believes that the malach has power in his own right, that he's an independent being. However, if a person realizes that this malach is a shliach of Hashem, and when he's bowing down, he's actually bowing down to the meshaleach, to the one who sent the malach, that is 100% permissible, and that was the case by Yeshua. So he knew it was not a shade, he was not serving the malach, but rather he was bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Moyed Katan on Daf Yud Zayin tells us that Im harav doima lemalach Hashem yivakshu Torah mipiv. V'im lav al yivakshu Torah mipiv. If your rebbe is like a malach, then you can learn from him. If he's not like a malach, then you cannot learn from him. The question that the Mefarshim asks is, how does the Gemara give us a mushal that none of us can relate to? Who has seen a malach? So how could the Gemara give a mushal to a nimshal if your rebbe is like a malach? What's a malach like? So Rav Nissen Alpert Zitzal gives an answer that there is a malach that we're familiar with, and those are the malachim who came to Avram. One was to cure Avram, one was to save Lloyd, and one was to tell Sarah she's going to have a child. And why couldn't one malach do all three missions? Because ein malach oisah shnei shlichus, as Rashi and Chumash tells us. Says Rav Nissen Alpert, that's what the Gemara means. Im harav doima lemalach. If the Rebbe has one mission, and only one mission in life, and that is to educate the next door of Talmidim, B'derech HaTorah, to give over the Mesorah from one generation to the other, that's the type of Rebbe that you have to learn from. If he has a second agenda, not a sole purpose of disseminating Torah, then you should not learn from him. I heard from Mariv Rebbe, Harav HaGoyin, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Alevi, Ruderman Zitzal, the Rosh Shiva of Yeshivas Ne'er Yisrael in Baltimore, a different pshat. There is, and that's Negeatar Sugya here. There's one malach that we find in Navi that we are aware of what that malach is, and that's the malach who came to Yeshua. As we're going to learn now, as we turn to Amud Beis, that this malach mund Yeshua. He demanded something from Yeshua. He didn't just pat him on the back, but he said, you've done something wrong. You're accountable for what you did wrong. A Rebbe is only a Rebbe if he munds from his Talmidim, which means he asks them, he holds them to a higher standard. You're good, but you have to be better. You have to improve. When a Rebbe demands from his Talmidim that they should steig, they should become greater and greater, as the Malach was demanding here from Yeshua, that's the type of Rebbe that you want. A Rebbe who's not going to be demanding from you, not going to challenge you to higher and higher levels, that is not a Rebbe that you want to learn from. And now let us see, as we turn to Amud Beis, exactly what the Malach was asking from Yeshua. Amalei, said the Malach to Yeshua, as we turn to the Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Emesh yesterday, Bitaltim. Rashi says Emesh here doesn't mean actually yesterday. It means that this was at night, as we said before. And he said just recently, right before darkness, Bein Hashmashes, when you should have brought the Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim, you didn't bring it. Armalei Emish Bitaltum Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim. Va'achshav, and now Bitaltum Tumid Torah. You did two Averes. You weren't learning. As Rashi says, you should have left the battlefield at night, not stayed with a siege around the city of Ai, but rather gone back to the main camp, which was in Gilgal, and you should have sat and learned Torah there. So you had two averas. You didn't bring the Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim, you didn't learn Torah. So as Rashi explains, when the Pasuk tells us that the Malach says, Atobasi, so we understand that there's a dialogue going on between Yeshua and the Malach. And the Malach is responding to a question of Yeshua. What was that question? The question was on what the Malach had said previously. I've come for two reasons. There are two Averis that you did. So on that, Yeshua asked the Malach, Aleizim and Bosa, which one are you coming? Amrlei Atabasi. I'm coming on the Achshav. That's the way Rashi learns. I'm coming not on the Aver that took place a few hours ago, before darkness, Emesh, which means before darkness, the Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim that you didn't bring. No, I'm coming on Ata, on the Achshav, on now. Why aren't you learning now? So Miyad, immediately Yeshua did tshuva, and the Pasuk says, Vayolin Yeshua b'laylahu b'toychei emek, that Yeshua dwelled that night in the valley, and V'omer Rabbi Yochel melamed shalon b'umka sh'alacha. What it means that he was in the valley means he was in the depths of, in the profundities of halacha of Torah, and he didn't waste another moment at night of learning Torah. So this is the way that Rashi here in the sugya understands this Gemara. We find in Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where this sugya is brought as well, that the Rivon brought down by Tosis has a beautiful pshat in the dialogue between the Malach and Yeshua. Yeshua said to the Malach, Halonu ata im litzarenu, says the Rivon. That's what Yeshua was asking the Malach. Which Aveira are you coming from? For, as the Gemara says over here, Al Eizdem en Bosa, and this is Merumas in the words, Halonu ato im litzarenu. Are you coming for Lonu? Are you coming for Torah, Tziva, Lonu, Moshe? That's Torah. Or are you coming on Bitl HaKarbonis, because Karbonis are Matzel, Klal Yisrael, from their enemies. So that's what Yeshua was asking. Which one are you primarily coming for? Is it for Lonu, Torah, Tziva, Lonu? Or is it for Karbonis, which are Megan, Im Halonu Ata Im Litzarenu, or are you coming for Karbonis, which is Megan? So what was the response of the Malach to Yeshua? Atabasi. Tosfos over there on Gimel Amud Aleph in Megillah learns not like Rashi that I came on Achshav, but I'm coming on the Ata Kisvu Lachem Es Hashir Azayis. I'm coming on Torah, as Torah is spoken about in the Chumash, as Va'at Ata Kisvu Lachem Es Hashir Azayis. Ata Basi on Torah. So there's a beautiful pshat which I have in my Sefer Oir HaOiris, the pshat that we mentioned before from Rav Ruderman, Zitzal, and Rav Alpert are also found in the Sefer Oir HaOiris. If anybody's interested in obtaining it, please contact me at grossman@ou.org. The pshat of the Ponovitch Rav, he's answering two questions. Number one, he says, why didn't the Malach just say, I'm coming on Torah? What does he have to give him? An enigmatic riddle of Va'ata Bosi, which means Va'ata Kisru Lechem Es Hashir Azois. And the second question the Ponovitch Rav Zitzal is trying to answer is, why in fact was there a Tviya, a Taina on Yeshua that he didn't learn Torah? After all, they were in the middle of a war. There was a siege. If they give up the siege at night, it's Sakonis Nefashis. They're in the middle of a mitzvah of Zayin Shekivshu, Zayin Shechilku, that they have to dominate and win over the land of Eretz Canaan, that it should become Eretz Yisrael. So they're in the middle of a battle, and they have a stranglehold around the city of Ai. They let go. They go to learn Torah. It's Sakonis Nefashis. Pekuach Nefesh. Is this in fact a time for learning Torah? And the Ponovitch Rav says that one question answers the other. The Malach wanted to tell Yeshua, you're right. If you're going to look at it purely from a legal standpoint, are you chayiv, are you potter? You'd be potter. You're in the middle of a battle. However, I'm giving you an answer. Ata bossi. And what does ata mean? Va'ata kisul lachem es hashira hazois. If a person's approach to Torah is ata, that it's a shira, va'ata kisul lachem es hashira hazois, a song of a person treats the Torah with such joy that it's this beautiful song, then it doesn't matter, even if he's in the middle of a life and death struggle, but he has to learn Torah. How could you let go of Torah even at a time of siege? You might be potter, but it seems to me it's not a shira by you. If it would be a shira, you would learn it even at night by the siege. In fact, miyad, Yeshua went to learn Torah. Tosis and Megillah points out that there is no real pasuk of Ayolan Yeshua Belailahu Mitocha Emek, but rather this is a combination of two psukim. One pasuk says, Perik Ches, pasuk Tes, Vayolan Yeshua Belailahu Betoicha Om, and there's a pasuk, Perik Ches, pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayelach Yeshua Belailahu Betoicha Emek. Gemara here, that's the derech of the Gemara in many places, to take two psukim and fuse them together, and the Gemara comes out with the pasuk vayolan Yeshua b'lalu b'tocha emek, and Rabbi Yochanan darshins he was lon ba'um kishal alocha, he learned Torah even though it was at night and there was a siege around the city of Ai. Continues the Gemara, Amar Shmuel bar Unya mishmeid rav Gadol Talmud Torah Yeshem HaKorbis Tamid. And we see that Talmud Torah is greater than bringing a Korban Talmud. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Atabasi, and as we just explained, that I'm coming primarily because of the Avera of Torah even more than the Avera of Bittel, the Talmud Shalbein Arbaim. Amalei Abayi L'Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi had learned in Eretz Yisrael, and then he settled in Bavel. So Abayi says to Rav Dimi, Hi Krab Marava b'may mukmisule. Marava Eretz Yisrael, which is to the west of Bavel. So Eretz Yisrael is referred to in the west. When you were in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, how did they darshan the following pasuk in Mishlei, which states, Al teitze l'riv mayer, don't go out quickly to a quarrel. Pen matase b'charisa, because lest, what are you going to do at the end? When your friend shames you, riv chariv, quarrel your quarrel, argue your quarrel, esreacha, with your friend. If you have to, fight it out with your friend. But v'soid achar al togel, don't reveal the secret of somebody else. Don't drag somebody else into your quarrel. So what does this pasuk refer to? Says the Gemara. V'shah. So Rav Dimit said, this is how they darshaned in Marava. B'shoah she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yecheskel. When Hashem said to Yecheskel, Leichem or Lem Yisrael, go to Yisrael and give them Musar, and tell them, Avicho Amoiri, your father's an Amoiri, V'imech and your mother's Chitis. So Rashi says this refers to Terech, because Terech was from Eretz Canaan, where the Amoiri and the Chiti were. The Rishash asks, but Canaan is from Chum, and Terech was from Shem. So how could we say that Amoiri and Chiti refers to Terech? The Rishash answers that since we have Rashi and Chumash, Va'knani Oz Ba'aretz, but the Knani had really taken it away from Shem, who originally was awarded Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Pasuk is calling Terech, who is from Shem, but he originally had the right to Eretz Canaan, he's referring to him as Amor or Chiti. The Orachlan there says that spiritually, Terech was like the Amori and the Chiti who served Avodah Zarah. The Malbim in Tanakh explains that this is referring to Avram and Sarah. How could we say that Avram and Sarah, Chas v'Shalom, were Amori Chiti? What it means is that they lived amongst the Amori and the Chiti. And by Klal Yisrael doing Averis, by Klal Yisrael serving Avodah Zarah, they're indicating that there was an influence from the Amorim and the Chitim amongst whom your father and mother, Avram and Sarah, lived. They had Ashpa on you. So learns the Malbim Pshat in this Chazal explaining the Pasuk. Amra Ruach Peskoinis. Ruach Peskoinis, Rashi says, refers to the Malach Gavriel, who always comes to the defense of Klal Yisrael. So the Ruach Peskoinis said, Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbani Shalom, Im Yavoyu Avram V'Sar, V'Yam Lufnecha, Avram and Sar will come and stand in front of you. Ata Omer Lahem, you're going to tell them that Chiti and Amori, Umachlamoysam, you're going to embarrass them. And that's what the Pasuk means from Mishle that we quoted before. Riv chariv esreacha. If you want to have a fight, as Rashi explains, with Klal Yisrael, so fight it. But v'soid achar al tako. Don't reveal the secret of someone else. Don't draw Sara and Avram into the fight. Don't embarrass them. Because what's going to happen at the end? That's what the pasuk continues. What are you going to do at the end? When your friend's going to embarrass you and say, what did I do wrong that you should bring me into your quarrel? What did Avram and Sarah do wrong? So this is a very brazen way of speaking against Hashem. Umi islay rishusa kuli hai? Does Gavriel have such a power to speak so audaciously with chutzpah in front of Hashem? The Gemara says in, the Amr of Yosef Ruchanina, Sholosh Shemus Yeshlai. Gavriel has three names, Piskun, Itmun, Sigrun. What do they mean? Piskun means Shapoisik Dvorim Klapimala. He speaks very short, very curtly, in a very strong, curt measure against Hashem, as we saw the way he spoke before to Hashem. Itmun, Sha'aitim Avinasem Shayshrol. Through Gavriel, he causes the Averes of Klal Yisrael to be sealed, to be hidden. Sigrun Kivin Shesiger. If Gavriel can't find the limits chus for Klal Yisrael, once he stops, he shuts his mouth and stops defending Klal Yisrael, Shuv Ein HaPaisach. There's no other malach who is going to step into his shoes. If Gavriel couldn't accomplish it, nobody else can. And now the Gemara explains a pasuk in Iyuv, which the Chaverim of Iyuv said to Iyuv, Hayaroich Shuach, did you arrange your tefillah properly, Loibitzar, not in the time of trouble? In other words, the friends of Eve are telling him, if you would have davened before the tzars would have happened, they would have never happened. Your tefillah would have caused the tzars not to come. Amar Rav Elazar, lo oilam yagdam adam tefillah tzara. That a person should always be magdam at tefillah to a tzar, she'al moli lo higdam Avram tefillah tzara. Had Avram not been magdam his tefillah when he entered Eretz Canaan, and he davened near the city of Ai, and in that merit his descendants should be saved over there in Ai, if he would not have been magdam his tefillah to the tzara, bein Beisel or bein Ai, in that location between Beisel and Ai, when he built a mizbeach and he davened Hashem, lo nishtayer merishoy Yisrael sardu polot, there would not have remained from the evil ones of Yisrael, or other girses are misoineim shel Yisrael, from the enemies of Yisrael, but really we mean Klal Yisrael, just saying it in a euphemism. There would not have remained any remnants of the Jewish people. So Avram's tefillah, thousands of years earlier, saved Klal Yisrael from a calamity. At Ai, Resh Lakish Amar, Resh Lakish, as Rashi explains, adds on the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk of Hayarech Shuach Loi Betzar says, V'choil Mamatzei Koyach, and all the forces of strength. So how does Rish Lakish explain the pasuk? Kol HaMa'amitz Atzmai B'Tfilah. That's how you arrange your Shuach, your Tfilah. If you're Ma'amitz, the end of the pasuk, if you strengthen yourself in Tfilah, Milmato, down here on earth, Ein Litzar Milmalo, the Satan and his hosts will not be able to make any trouble to for you, Lamala. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan also uses the last phrase, V'chol Ma'amatzei Koyach, and he says that that's the purpose of the tefillah. La'olu yavakish adam rachmim sheyu hakol ma'amtsin eskoch, that all the heavenly forces should give you strength. Va'al yehiyu light tzar malab, and that's what the end of the pasuk says. Loi bitzar, you should have imut, you should have strength from the heavenly hosts, from the malachi asharis, and none of them should be an enemy against you. The Gemara continues to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Minayin shekipoloi viduyav. How do we know that the vidui of Achan forgave him and allowed him to receive olam haba, even though you received misa, but he's going to get olam haba? So the Mishnah used the pasuk, which the Gemara here will use the same pasuk, but we'll add another proof. Tana Rabban, and we learned in the Braisa. Minayin shekipoloi viduyav shenamer. Vayomer Yeshua ma achartanu. What you caused us trouble and you ruined us, Yarcha Hashem, Hashem should do back to you. He should give you trouble. He should ruin you. Hayoyim Azeh this day. So we make a diuk. Hayoyim Azeh Ata Ocher. Now you're like Mayim Achurim, dirty waters. Now you're all spoiled and disgusting. But V'iyata Ocher Lo'elam Abo. But in the world to come, you will not be Ocher. You will not be ruined. You will get Olam Haba. That's what the Mishnah and the Braisa share in common. But now comes an extra pasuk. Uksiv, it says in Divrei Hayamim, Ubnei Zerach, Zimri, Ve'eson, Ve'heman, Ve'chilkel, Ve'darda. Those were his five sons. And we know, and we're going to see in the Gemara, that Zimri is Achan. And the father of Achan, who is Zimri, his name is Zerach. And then the pasuk continues, Kulum Chamisha, all five. My Kulum Chamisha, we can count that there's five children over here. Why does the pasuk have to say they're all five? It means, Kulum Chamisha ein l'olam haba. Just like the other sons of Zerach would receive olam haba, so would Zimri. Ksiv Zimri. We have in Divrei Hayamim that he's called Zimri ben Zerach. And we have in Yeshua that he's called Achan ben Zerach. What's his real name? So, Ksiv Zimri, Ksiv Achad. So, Rav Shmuel both agree that he had two names. The question is, which is the main name? On that, there's a machloikis. Chad Amar Achan Shmuel Vlam Nikar Shmuel Zimri, Sha'asa Maisa Zimri. One says his main name is Achan. And why was he called Zimri? Because he acted like Zimri. That just like Zimri did a Maisa Niyuf, so too, as we learned on Amid Aleph, Achan was Boyal Anaira Murasa. And just like Zimri, Rashi says, brought a punishment to Klal Yisrael that 24,000 got killed, so Roiv of the Sanhedrin also got killed, as we learned on Amid Aleph, that Yor Ben Menashe is equal to Ruba Shel Sanhedrin got killed. The Chadomer, and one of them, we don't know if it's Rav or Shmuel, one says Zimri Shmoy, his name is really Zimri, that's his main name. Why was he also called Achan? She'ichen avin esen shel Yisrael, because he, ichen comes, Rashi says, from the word achno. Achno is a snake. Just like a snake coils around, winds around, and his tail is in his mouth. And so too, the averus through Achan, the averus of Klal Yisrael were wound around Klal Yisrael because of the maisa of Achan, like a snake that winds itself, coils itself around. The Gemara continues to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Imeinu yodei l'svadus, he doesn't know how to make a vidui. So the Mishnah said, Oimrim loy, emor tehei misvasi kapar. Say the following words, my misa should be a kapar. I'll call over and I say, on all my averes, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, emhoi yodei shehu mezum. If you knew he was a victim of a plot, he was framed, he never did this avera. Oimer, he says, Tehei misasi kapar, my mis should be a kapar, I'll call of an oisai, on all my sins, chutz mi oven zeh, not this sin, because this sin I didn't do. Amrulai the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Imkain, we don't agree with you that he says such a thing, he's not allowed to say such a thing. Imkain, you call out him, Oimer, Kain, Kedelo Nakas, that's what everybody will say this, in order to die a free person, meaning that people should think that he did not do the Avera. And he will cleanse himself from this avera, and that's no good. So the Gemara says, "V'yinakatzman, what's wrong? So let them go away from this world with people thinking that maybe he didn't do the avera." The answer is no. The Rabbanan don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, because if you're going to allow such a person to do it, then everybody will, it'll cast aspersions against Batidinim and Edim that they convicted an innocent man, and really he could be guilty. And we should consider him guilty. We should consider the Edus of the Edim true, and the Psak Bezin also true. If you're going to let him say such a thing before he dies, it will cause people to look negatively at the Edim and at the Bezin. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Maisa Baramecha, there was a story of one person, Shiyotzu Lahargi, who was being taken out to be killed. Omar, he said the following words as he's being led to his execution. Im yesh bi oven zeh, if I have this avera like tehei misasi kapor l'chov and isai, my death should not be forgiveness for any of my averas. But vim ein bi oven zeh, if I don't have this avera, tehei misasi kapor l'chov and isai, then my death should be a kapor for all my avers. In other words, he was saying in a very strong manner, I never did this avera, because if I did it, I shouldn't get kapor for anything. and I want to have kapora for my aver. So I'm telling you, I never did this aver. But who do I blame? Bezdin v'chol Yisroel Menachem. Bezdin, all the Jewish people, they are free. They didn't do anything wrong. They were basing their psak on the testimony of the Edom. V'ha'edim lo yitei lohem mechila lo'olam. The Edom should never get forgiveness. They're the ones who framed me. U'k'sheshama chacham b'davar, when the chacham heard what he had said, Amru, they said the following. We really think he might be saying the truth. But lachzira yefshu, we can't bring him back and revoke the death penalty. Shekvar nigzik gezeira, we made a psak din. We've gone through all the steps to bring about a true din, and this is we came out that he deserves death. El yaharg, let him die. Baviyehei koyler toli b'tzavar edim. The caller of responsibility should be on the necks of the edim. They are the ones who are killing an innocent person. Rashi does not have the word pshita that we have other Rishonim do. We'll go with Rashi's Mahalach. The Gemara is asking, kol kimine. It sounds like the Chachamim thought that what this person was being taken out to be executed was saying was true. And what the Edom were saying was not true. Kol kimine, asked the Gemara. Why do we trust this person that the responsibility for his death is on the heads of the and around the neck of the Edom, as if the Edom are lying? Why is he believed to say against the Edom that they are liars? The Gemara answers, Leitzricha de Kohadjibe Sadi. The Edom themselves said, what we said is not true. We take it back. So the Gemara says, so what if they take it back? We have a rule throughout Shas of Kivan Shehigit Shuvan Chayzer Magid. Once Edom say testimony in Bezdin, they're not allowed to retract their testimony. And we learn it from a pasuk. And Rashi adds that it could be in the last moment they got frightened that they didn't want, even though they knew their Edom is true, that this person, whatever he did wrong, he deserved the death penalty, but they didn't want to take a human life, even though he deserved death. Maybe that's the reason why they retracted. But we can't be worried about that. We don't have to even be chayshish, Rashi says, for that. We have to accept the original Edus. So why does it sound like from this story that the Chachamim thought that the Edom were lying? Leitzricha must be. Even though they gave a reason why they originally had spoken and said Edus against this person, and they explained that they had some personal animosity against him, and now in the last minute they decided to admit that they had framed him, it's too late, because we still say, once they say that Edus and it was accepted in Bezdin, they can't go back on their original Edus, and therefore, even though we think they're saying the truth, the responsibility will be on their heads that they are the ones that caused his death. Kiahu maisa de boye mixa. The same, we have in parentheses here, as the story of the Yavetz as boye is a name, mixa is a tax collector. What the story is brought out in a Yerushalmi in Chagiga, and this on the left-hand column, Rashi brings the entire story, which we do not have time for. It starts out with the tax collector. It ends off at the end of the Rashi with Shimon ben Shetach killing 80 women, 80 Jewish women who were Isaac in witchcraft, and they were Chayiv Misa, and it tells us the story of how men came, 80 men came and picked them up from the floor. Once they're picked up from the floor, their kishuv doesn't work anymore. They were able to take them out and hang them and kill them. And then the relatives of these 80 wanted to punish Shimon ben Shetach, so they framed the son of Shimon ben Shetach, and as he's being taken out to be killed, they framed him with an aveira for which it's chiyuv misa. As he's being taken out to be killed, he, and perhaps that's the very maisa that the Gemara is referring to, he said these words, im yesh bi oven zeh loitei misosik hapor l'chol oven oisai, v'im ein bi oven zeh tei misosik hapor l'chol oven oisai, u'bezdim v'chol yisrael menukim, v'edim loitei la mechilu l'oilam, and the Edom are saying, yes, we admit, we framed him. Doesn't matter. The psak was that the son of Shimon ben Shetach, even though they were taking revenge, and they explained it, that really what they were saying was not true. The son of Shimon ben Shetach never did it. It doesn't matter. Bezdin had to go with the rule of Kivan Shigat Shuvan Chayzer Magid. So this story that the Yerushalmi Chagiga brings down, which begins with another story, a related story of Boya Michsa. This brings out what we have just learned in the previous sugya that we have just completed.